lots of sunshine today. It's another beautiful harvest day. Harvest going strong throughout the province. And I am fresh back into the studio, dust in my boots. I've snapped a shear pin on the auger, and I've ate more homemade chocolate chip cookies than one person should probably eat in a week. But nonetheless, good to be back, but always good to be out and helping with Harvest. Had a good few days out there. And glad to be back with you. By the way, thanks to Brent Louts. I was sitting in the grain truck, obviously, over the last number of days, so had a really good chance to just enjoy the show, listen to the show. I was tempted to call in a couple of times. In fact, a lot of the opinions, I mean, think about the week. We started talking about the CFL changes, which I have a thought on that. Then we start the firearm buyback thing was a big issue that was on yesterday. I have thoughts on that. It feels like there's been a number of things that have come down over the last little while. So when we open up phone lines today at 9 o'clock, late, there's a lot to talk about. Ostrich cull, the CFL rules, whatever you want to chat about. We'll open up the phone lines and the text lines for 1 hour at 9 o'clock. I'm here for it. I'm here to chat with you. Then at 10 o'clock, we bring back two great guests. Think back to when the federal election was happening in April. We had a political panel. Two of our panelists, John Gormley and Doug Richardson, will be back on the program today to evaluate how the federal government is doing. What are we now? Almost 5 months since the election. So we'll do a bit of a review, a report card per se. They'll join us for a full hour, so that'll be a good conversation. And while I was out in the field the last number of days, I saw lots of rocks. I saw deer. I saw tracks of moose. What I didn't see was space junk falling from the sky. However, there is a good chance in the last week, somewhere in Saskatchewan, it happened. We've got Samantha Waller from the University of Regina joining us to discuss why she thinks this is a very distinct possibility in the province. That and a whole lot more. It's a great show this morning. Thanks for being here. Let's get into today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, we've been following the story of the Saskatoon Police Service dismissing three officers earlier in September. I had Police Chief Cam McBride on the program, and we talked a bit about it. And although, of course, he wouldn't give a lot of details, the original complaint came as a result of an off-duty incident. And then the investigation brought him to the point where Chief McBride said there was no other decision to make and asked the public to trust his judgment. Well, that decision is being questioned. In fact, it's being appealed. And the officer's lawyer argues that the facts tell a very different story. According to the defense, the investigation was incomplete when the dismissals were made. Mediation was rejected by the police service, and the case raises some serious questions about fairness and transparency. Helping us better understand what we are seeing, I've got Stephen Seiferling joining our program. We've had Stephen on many times before. He's a labor and employment lawyer, managing and founding lawyer with Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. Stephen Seiferling joining me from Washington, D.C., question mark? Stephen?
Thanks for having me, Evan. Yes, I'm in Washington right now. I'm at a business improvement district conference, but we'll leave that to talk about for another time.
Sure. Well, I look forward to hearing about that conference for sure once you're back. So thanks for joining us this morning. Can you give us a bit of an overview? You've stepped in, obviously. Are you the lawyer for all of the officers involved?
I'm the officer for the three, the two tactical team members and the special constable who were dismissed. In the last number of months.
What can you give us, Stephen, as an overview of this?
Well, you mentioned the investigation being incomplete. The termination documents themselves actually say we're not done the investigation, but we're going to terminate you anyway. For the two tactical team members, the special constable's documents don't have specifics like that. And we're just wondering, especially given the facts that came up in Sergeant Taylor's case that Brian Pfefferly is running in Saskatoon, whether or not the disclosure that we're going to get, and we're not getting the disclosure until November 14th, because the Saskatoon Police Service hasn't had the opportunity to put it together. So that begs the question of what are they actually doing for this investigation if they don't have documents ready to go for us?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the SPS lawyer is on holidays for a month. So the soonest we can have any kind of a hearing, even on the question of whether their disclosure is sufficient, is January.
Is there a set time period in which disclosure is supposed to happen? I'm thinking back to, I obviously was involved in cases like this only in Regina. When I was in Regina, we would let an officer go. Often, I feel like there was disclosure that happened at that point, but I could be wrong.
Well, there is a report. There is a termination report that gives you some details of what the person was terminated for. But we're looking for some information on, you know, what the police's practice has been for off-duty conduct. What's the practice been for enforcement of certain rules that they claim to have or they may or may not have had at the time of these terminations? What is the history of that? And their lawyer has at least initially indicated to me that we're not going to give you some of what you want. So I went to the adjudicator, and this is only on the special constable's case. I went to the adjudicator and said, well, okay, we'd like to have a hearing about what evidence they have to provide. If we're going to wait till mid-November for the evidence, I'd like to have a preliminary hearing on what they're going to provide. And the response was, well, we'll give you what we're going to give you in November, and then we can have a hearing after that if we need to. And by the way, I'm gone for a month.
Stephen Seiferling is my guest, labor and employment lawyer, and he is representing three Saskatoon police officers recently dismissed by the service. You had used the word scapegoated.
Yes.
Tell me what you mean by that, Stephen.
Well, there's the conduct that's being raised here. As I just said, I'm interested in knowing how far the Saskatoon Police Service has investigated this conduct generally with their members. There's allegations in one case that go back to 2017. I'm wondering what relevance those have to a termination in 2025. There's a number of things in there that are just questionable, and they raise questions about what rules were in place and what's actually being investigated and what these people are really being terminated for.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go into specifics, but going back to your question on timelines, generally when you're dealing with a termination case, whether it's under the Police Act or whether it's a regular arbitration, the goal is to have it heard as quickly as possible. And the reason behind that is because one of the remedies is reinstatement with back pay. So if somebody gets reinstated with back pay and you've taken 2 years to run a hearing, you've got a huge liability that's accrued. So it's in the best interests of the employer and normally the union, but that's also a story for another time, to run these as quickly as possible. In this case, we've been retained directly by the three officers, the three terminated officers, and the union is not directly involved at this point.
So when I had the chief on, Stephen, he said that he felt he had no other decision that he could make. Clearly, you disagree with that. It's my understanding there was an offer. Could we sit down and see if we can mediate this? They dismissed that. So without knowing all of the facts, is it possible that once you get full disclosure, you might say, now I understand why the chief made the decision?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, but the termination documents should give you a very strong idea of what you're facing. And in this case, the termination documents are just not that strong. In the press release, you'll see that we refer a lot to off-duty conduct. Termination for off-duty conduct is generally a problem. And I mean, anybody who's been involved in a workplace knows that occasionally you have workplace parties. And I understand with the police, sometimes there's shift parties. How much of that conduct is being scrutinized just generally by the Saskatoon Police Service?
This is not a new topic. Obviously, Steve and I have talked about off-duty conduct so much over the years because I spent a lot of time on the union and then a number of years as chief of police. And whether we like it or not, off-duty conduct is something that is, it comes into play for police. It's one of those professions. And I would suggest yours as a lawyer is another one where there's this expectation of a higher standard. So how do you see this coming out in the balance and knowing that once this goes to hearing, it is completely public? How do you see the public weighing the facts?
Well, I'm very interested to see how the public weighs the facts because there will be a lot of public interest and public scrutiny on this hearing. I think that the behavior that will come to light is that there were a lot more people than just three involved in the behavior. And if it's inappropriate, then why is everybody else back at work?
Stephen Seiferling is my guest, labor and employment lawyer. Can you talk about the threshold that a hearing officer uses? This is not the same as a criminal court where it's proof beyond a reasonable doubt. What is the threshold that the hearing officer, I believe, is it Ronnie Nordle in this case, or is that the one of Sergeant Taylor?
That's Sergeant Taylor.
Okay.
For the one where we do have a hearing officer assigned, it is Jay Watson out of Saskatoon.
Okay, so what is the threshold that hearing officer Watson will be using in making the determination, whatever that might be at the end of the hearing?
He'll be making a determination on whether or not the Saskatoon Police Service had just cause for the termination of these, in his case, the special constable. If we end up with him for all three, then he'll make that same determination. So whether or not there's just cause, and as you said, there is definitely a higher level of scrutiny on certain professions. I mean, I'd add politicians and judges to that too. But there's a higher level of scrutiny on certain professions that have the public trust in mind. But it's still a just cause standard. Mm-hmm. And you have to show that you had just cause to terminate the worker. And that onus for that is on the police service. It's not on the worker to defend themselves because we can't prove a negative. The police service is going to have to show that they had a legitimate reason to terminate in the cases of the two tactical team members, the long service employment of two police officers.
You mentioned that disclosure for you as their lawyer will likely happen towards the end of the year in November. Do we have an idea of a timeline for this, Stephen?
As I said, the hearings, even on preliminary issues such as sufficiency of disclosure, are not going to take place until January at the soonest. We do have a tentative hearing date for disclosure on the special constable's case. I believe that's at the end of January. And then the actual hearing dates, I'm speculating here, but I don't see anything happening before March or April of 2026, which is not fast. And then the hearing officer actually has to write a decision after mm-hmm. that.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on this. Thanks for joining the show today. I realize you're somewhat limited, number one, because of your oath and representation of those officers, but number two, what you've been provided in terms of disclosure. So I appreciate you joining the show to set the stage, provide the other side of this, and we will follow this along, Stephen. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Evan. We'll keep in touch on this for sure.
You bet. Stephen Seiferling, labor and employment lawyer, managing founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. And we will follow this. Saskatoon's got a couple of cases right now that are either in front of or headed to a hearing officer, appealing decisions made by Chief Cam McBride. We touch base, of course, with the chief on a regular monthly basis, but we're likely a few months away from getting any sort of understanding and resolution in this case involving the three officers from SBS. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.